Amen. Would you please turn to Exodus chapter 14? We're going to do something spectacular tonight. We're going to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. Nervous reactions consist of things like pacing. Did you ever do that? Pace? Jiggling things in your pockets. Anybody ever hear somebody do that? Doodling or eating what we call comfort foods, chattering or even fidgeting. And while you're busy with all your nervous reactions, you tend to make rash decisions. You don't think straight. You say dumb stuff. Your concentration is reduced and you're not fully aware of really of what is happening. Israel reacted nervously to their worse than difficult circumstances. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 2, they were camped by the sea with only a narrow passage, and we're going to see that narrow passage tonight, with only a narrow passage through the mountains that brought them to this beach on the shore of the Gulf of Aqaba, which is part of the Red Sea. In verses 5 through 10, we'll observe that the Egyptian army was pursuing them through that only channel of escape. And in verses 10 through 12, Israel was sore afraid. They cried out to the Lord, they criticized Moses, and they wished they had never left Egypt. So let's see what happens. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, and I have a hard time pronouncing that name there, Pihahiro something or other. Good. Say it louder so everybody can. All right, there's our Hebrew expert. That's how you say it. It was between Migdol and the sea over against the Baal Zephon before it ye shall camp by the sea. The Red Sea is a total of 1,400 miles long. The maximum depth and some of it is 7,000 feet. There are two fingers at the northern end of the Red Sea. On the left is the Gulf of Suez. You've probably heard about that in the news. On the right is the Gulf of Aqaba. Israel traveled to about the middle of the Gulf of Aqaba. Now, at this site, they came upon a beach. Can you see that little thing there at the end of the arrow? Let's zoom in on it a little bit. That little beach there. This is the canyon through which they actually walked to get there. And a little bit more of the canyon. And then they, there's the path as they come out through this canyon to that beach that only Mr. Morrow can pronounce. And it sort of looks like this. It's 4.5 miles long and 2 miles wide, 9 square miles, or a total of 5,760 acres. That's amazing. We'll find out in a little bit how it got there. The mountains closed in around the beach, you can see in the lower part of the picture, so that it was either go into the sea or back through the canyon, the only two ways to go. God intended for the Egyptians to chase after Israel. In verse 3, he says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know. See, I want the Egyptians to understand something. I want all of them to understand that I am the Lord. And the verse says, and they did so. Or in other words, this is exactly what happened. It was told, verse 5, the king of Egypt, that the people fled. Remember what Moses had said, let us go 3 days out and worship. Should have taken Israel no longer than 2 weeks round trip. 3 days out, a week to worship, 3 days back. But it got to be longer than that. Apparently, he sends out spies, or else he had guards posted. They did have outposts, which would make sense for any country to defend itself. And they noticed that the Israelites not only went 3 days' journey and worshiped, they were gone. So it says, continuing in verse 5, the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. So 600 chosen chariots. In a bit, we'll understand why they were chosen. But then he took all the chariots as well. We'll later see in another verse that he took all of his host, which would have been footmen as well as horsemen. The Egyptians did catch up with the Israelites at the sea as they had come through the channel, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them. And all the horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army overtook them in camping by the sea, beside that place that only Mr. Morrow can pronounce. I'm really going to ride that tonight. Oh my. 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots, all his horsemen, all his army. How many was this? Well, if it was 600 chosen chariots, and then there's more chariots, and then there's more horsemen, and then there's the foot soldiers, it's got to be in the thousands or tens of thousands. Some have even estimated that it was 100,000. I don't know. There's no record that I know of that specifies it. It's speculation, but it's got to be in the thousands if it was already 600 chosen or chariots. So Pharaoh and his army draw near, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh or near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The word afraid suggests that they were stunned. I mean, they had come a long way. It took them. Actually, total, after they had stopped a couple of other places along the way, it was close to a month since they left Egypt. After that amount of time, you might begin to feel pretty comfortable. And suddenly, here comes the Egyptian military. Verse 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? I mean, we couldn't die in Egypt. You have to bring us out here to bury us. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? No place to bury us in Egypt. Now, remember Exodus chapter 13 and verse 18? Remember that word back there? They were harnessed. Remember what I said that meant? The men were wearing armor. So they were expecting to have to fight. But now when the fight's there, they're not so ready. It's easy to be brave when you're not facing the enemy. Oh, I'm going to face the enemy. And then when the enemy comes, things can change. So they wished they had been back in Egypt. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Now, there's no record of them having said that. It doesn't say that in Scripture. They could have easily. A lot of them could have said that, but we don't know for sure. But they claim they said that. And it says here, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Of course, it looks rather dire. I mean, you're looking at the Gulf of Aqaba with a depth of 5,000 feet. And the only other way to go is through that narrow canyon, because the mountains come all the way around that whole beach. So you can't go along the sea. It's either in the water or back through the canyon. And now the Egyptian military has filled up that canyon. So Moses says in verse 13, fear ye not, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Don't worry, God has everything under control, even though it doesn't look like it. We have the sea ahead, the Egyptian army behind. There's no left, there's no right. But don't worry, God has everything under control. How is that? Well, Moses says in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Don't worry, the Lord will deal with it. Just be quiet. And let God do what he does. Sometimes we have to come to that point in our lives. Because our soul can get pretty noisy. And our soul can cause our thoughts to run wild. Have you ever been sitting there and just imagining what's about to happen? Oh, nothing has happened yet, but your mind is imagining it. Oh, this is going to happen, or so-and-so is going to say this, or... And your thoughts are very noisy, and your soul was very noisy, and Moses says, we just be quiet. Just be quiet. And watch. God has a plan. The Lord said to Moses in verse 15, why criest thou unto me? Apparently Moses started repeating the complaints of the people to God, and God says, I don't need to hear that from you. I already heard it from them. Why are you crying to me? So he says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, which way is forward? Across the river. Or I keep wanting to call it a river. It's a sea. It's 8 miles of water straight across. 5,000 feet deep. Yeah. Forward. He says to Moses in verse 16, lift up thy rod, stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, Moses hasn't told the people yet. This is what God is telling Moses. This is what he's going to do. And he says, the reason that I'm going to do this is because I want to teach the Egyptians a lesson. Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all the hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. They're going to know it. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. So remember the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night is leading the Israelites. Well, the pillar of cloud would be by the sea because that's forward. And so it says in verse 19 that the pillar moved behind the people, which would be back at the opening of the canyon. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So the pillar of cloud / fire, remember it would turn to fire at nighttime, went from the front of the Israelites at the shore of the sea to the back of the Israelites, stood in the mouth of the canyon, trapping the Egyptian army in the canyon, because there isn't any place else the Egyptian army can go. The walls are too steep. There's no other channel. They're stuck. There's an interesting thing. It became nighttime, and this pillar became two-faced. Verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, that is, the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, that is, the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. It's nighttime. Oh, yeah, it's nighttime. This didn't happen in broad daylight. It's nighttime. Now, this pillar of cloud fills up the opening to the canyon, and behind that, in this canyon, it's really dark. And the Egyptian military is trapped inside there. This pillar is so intimidating to the Egyptians, they don't dare try to go through it. But on the other side, on the beach side, it's bright. And it shines and it glows, and the Israelites have plenty of light at nighttime. Verse 20. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry, and the waters were divided. So the sea is divided. And I think the all that night actually goes more with the dry land than with the wind. And we'll see why in a moment. But notice in verse 22, children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Remember, this is nighttime. The pillar shined so brightly from the mouth of the canyon towards the opening of the sea that it illuminated the entire path across the sea. But just for a glance over to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 8, after they were crossed, after this was all finished, Moses wrote a song, and notice what he says in chapter 15 and verse 8. And with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed. The word congealed suggests that the water actually became hardened as if it was frozen. So you don't have little kids running over there to the water and reaching in and pulling out fish. Why would they harden like this? Well, if this strong wind had to blow all night long, that would have been another force for the Israelites to deal with trying to get through there on dry land. By congealing the waters, they'll be stationary, allowing the Israelites to cross safely. So, the walls congealed. The people walked through. Now, I did use a strong wind that formed the channel through the water. But because the waters were congealed, that strong wind was no longer needed. The Gulf of Aqaba is, at this point, is 8 miles across. For most of its length, the Gulf of Aqaba has a steep degree slope of 45 degrees to a depth of 5,000. So, we have the sea at a depth of 5,000 feet. Something very interesting happened during the flood, however. On the side where they were beached, remember, it's just a narrow channel coming through, a canyon coming through some mountains. And it so happens on directly on the other side of the sea, there's something very similar. And during the flood, as the waters were receding, sand washed into the sea, forming the beach as well as this sand down in the water. And it just happened that the same thing came from the other side, and because those two openings of canyons are directly across from each other, the sand coming from both sides joined in the middle and formed a land bridge. Now the water was, in the middle of the land bridge, 1,000 feet deep. The land bridge was 0.6 miles wide, so as the Israelites are crossing, we're not talking about going single file. You know, in 0.6 miles, you can have as many as 1,000 people shoulder to shoulder, and you can move a lot of people at one time. The thing of it is, back to this, the slope, you say, well, 1,000 feet, that's a long way down. But remember, we're talking about 8 miles. They tell us that the slope of this land bridge was 6% grade. At a 6% grade, each step you would take for 3 miles, you would go down 2 inches. That's not very steep. So you go down 2 inches per step for 3 miles. It levels off for 2 miles. And then the 6% grade, 2 inches up every step for 3 miles. And that's how they crossed the Red Sea. At some point, the pillar of cloud moved and allowed the Egyptian military to enter into the path through the sea. Verse 23 of Exodus chapter 14. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now, it would have taken the Israelites all night long to get through to the other side at half a mile wide, 8 miles long, with all the animals and carts. The whole group probably stretched out about 4 miles. So when the first group arrived to the other side, the last of the group was about in the middle. But notice in verse 24, it says, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the morning watch would be somewhere between 6 and 9 a.m. So sometime during that time period, the pillar of cloud moved and the Egyptian army was allowed to come racing into the channel. Verse 24, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels and that they drave them heavily. This is the only picture I could find that actually depicted the chariot wheels falling off. It's not the clearest picture, but hopefully you can see. He knocked all the chariot wheels off of all their chariots. So the horses are dragging these chariots with no wheels. That can't be fun, especially in sand. And you're in the middle of the sea with a 1,000-foot wall of congealed water. And so they decided it's time to run. Let us flee from the face of Israel. Oh, did this really happen? Some divers went down in there, and they found a chariot wheel. Now, this was a wooden chariot wheel with an iron rim. This one kind of got stuff all grown over it, but you can see the shape of it. This one is kind of interesting. Can you sort of tell what this is? Well, somebody decided to help us figure it out and superimposed. It's actually two wheels with the axle. These things are right there in the Gulf of Aqaba. It's there. This one is interesting. This is a gold chariot wheel. They can't move it because it was a wooden wheel with gold encasing. And the wood has all disintegrated. All that's left is the gold. If they try to move the gold, it'll fall apart. But there it is. 600 chosen chariots. Why were they chosen? Because they had gold wheels. Isn't that amazing? Oh, the Egyptians decide it's time to run. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They got it. They tried to run, but it didn't work. In verse 26, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses did that, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. The entire Egyptian military was gone. Oh, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. But the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. While the wheels of the chariots sank to the bottom, the bodies floated up to the shore. And Israel saw what God did. In verse 31, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. We can all find ourselves sandwiched between two unconquerable foes. There are Red Sea type foes in our lives, some natural obstacle we cannot cross. And there are Egyptian army type foes, a violent enemy we cannot overcome. Some of those Red Sea type foes can be disease, loss of job, fire, accidents, car trouble, floods, tornadoes that destroy our property. The potential violent enemies we could describe as perhaps bullies or temptation to sin. Our own flesh, worldly people who object to our godliness, and even Satan and his cronies. We can fidget. We can be afraid. We can criticize those in charge, or we can retreat and give up. Or we can stand still and watch God work. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation that is above what you are able to handle, with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites. He can make a path for you through anything. Sometimes we just need to stand still and watch him work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did for Israel, and thank you for what you do for us. We're grateful. But Lord, sometimes we tend to fidget. Help us to stop fidgeting. Help us to stand still and see what you can do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.